Welcome to episode 42 of the New Testament, Gospels and Epistles. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and creator of this series. With this episode, I continue our discussion of unique details which are found only in the Gospel of St. John, finishing the list of unique references to people with a discussion of Peter, Judas, Nicodemus, and Mary Magdalene. Peter appears in a different light in St. John's Gospel than in the Synoptics. The illustration is a 6th century mosaic of St. Peter at the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, now Istanbul, Turkey. In St. John's Gospel, on his first meeting with Peter, described in John 1:42, Jesus gives him the name Cephas, which in Aramaic means rock or stone. Other than St. John, only St. Paul used the name Cephas when referring to Peter. He does so in 1 Corinthians 1:12, 3:22, 9:5, and 15:5, and in Galatians 2, verse 9. St. Peter's part in St. John's account of the foot washing of the disciples and Jesus' post-resurrection meal with them will be discussed later in the section on unique events. In the account of Jesus' arrest in the garden on Maundy Thursday, only St. John gives the name of the servant of the Jewish high priest whose ear Peter cut off, citing the name Malchus in John 18, verse 10. And only St. John and St. Matthew report that Jesus admonished Peter to put the sword away. St. Luke says that Jesus healed the injury that Peter inflicted. You'll find that in Luke 22:51. St. John's account of Peter's three denials is much longer and offers much more detail than that found in the Synoptics, and you'll find that account in John 18, verse 15 to 27. I see this as strong evidence of St. John's commentary is a first-hand account. St. John also shows us an impetuous Peter rushing past him to be the first to enter the tomb of the risen Christ in John 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. All three synoptic gospels include the Great Commission to all the disciples to teach the word of Christ to the broader world, but only St. John reports the manner of Jesus' restoration of Peter. Earlier, I stressed the use of numerology in the Gospel of St. John in episode 40, and for more on the importance of numerology for St. John, see episode 2 in the series Revelation, An Idealist Interpretation. In the Gospel of St. John, in the account discussed here, the number is 3, which in this case symbolizes Peter's three denials on the evening of Maundy Thursday, which are matched by Jesus' three questions of Peter. Here is the entire exchange between Peter and Jesus following their post-resurrection meal with Jesus, again, which will be discussed in regard to other details in another episode on unique events. When in the first of three questions Jesus says more than these, he is referring to the other disciples. Peter had often implied his devotion was greater than that of others. Now Jesus puts Peter to the test. Note that the final instruction is different in each of the three questions, but that all three instructions refer to Jesus' personal commission restoring Peter as a leader. In all three instructions, Jesus' use of sheep or lamb is consistent with St. John's depiction of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Now John 21:15. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. The New King James Study Bible notes that in the first and second question, the Greek word for love, which Jesus speaks, is agapao, derived from agape, meaning unconditional love. Peter's response to all three questions uses the Greek word philia, which means brotherly love. In George Ricker Berry's Greek to English interlineary, using the New King James Version, Peter's answer is translated probably more correctly, You know I have affection for you. A full discussion of the several Greek words which are translated in the Western versions of the Bible as love are discussed in the video for the first day of Christmas in the AIC seasonal video series, Reflections on the 12 Days of Christmas, linked from the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. And there is still more on the same topic in the podcast homily for Fourth Sunday in Advent on the podcast homilies page at the same site. Agape is often used to describe God's love for mankind that caused him to send his only Son for the salvation of his creation. The use of agapao signifies a greater scope of love than the word Jesus used for love in the third question, and as I noted, which Peter used in all three of his answers, that is, philia. Again, in the second question, Jesus uses agapao, and Peter again replies with philia. Philia implies a strong personal bond and commitment on Peter's part. The modern phrase is affection, or again, possibly brotherly love. Here is John 21:16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. In Jesus' third and final question, he uses the Greek word philia for love, and Peter replies with the same word. Peter's three denials have been answered by Jesus' three questions and Peter's three positive answers. In the next verse, 17, John tells us of Peter's reaction to the repeated questioning. In his answer, Peter affirms his recognition of the divine nature of Jesus, and with his answer, he is restored. Verse 17, He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. And once again, George Ricker Berry's Greek to English interlinear translates Jesus' third question as, Do you have affection for me? John's account of this dialogue continues with a unique recalling of Jesus' prophecy of St. Peter's martyrdom, verses 18 and 19. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." According to church tradition, St. Peter was martyred by crucifixion upside down at Peter's request during the reign of Nero between 64 and 66 AD. Peter is also involved in a final dialogue with Jesus in which he seems to be asking what is St. John's fate and is again admonished with words that apply to all the faithful. St. Peter's impetuousness is displayed in his final discourse with Jesus in verses 20 and 21. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, your tradition says this means John, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Again, this refers to the account in the Last Supper in John 13. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Early church expectation, largely but not exclusively based on St. John's gospel, was that John would not die before Jesus came again. The common expectation that the second coming would be soon is referred to in Greek as the parousia. The Church's traditional interpretation in modern times of Jesus' answer to Peter is that we are not given to know the fate of others, and that just as Peter was given a mission, "Follow me and either tend or feed his sheep," so also must all the faithful continue to walk in the way of the Lord. Another person who is uniquely referred to by St. John is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee sympathetic to Jesus, is mentioned 5 times in St. John's Gospel and nowhere else. His nighttime visit with Jesus, described in John 3, verses 1 to 21, will be discussed later in the section on unique events. The illustration is from the AIC bookstore publication, Paintings on Light, and is a stained glass window by Franz Mayer of Munich at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, depicting the nighttime visit of Nicodemus. Nicodemus also challenges the chief priests and scribes to hear Jesus before they arrest him in John 7, verse 50. It was to Nicodemus that the chief priests and scribes derisively said in verse 57:52, "Are you from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Only St. John wrote that Nicodemus was present at the burial of Jesus and that he brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes in chapter 19, verse 39. Only St. Joseph is mentioned in the Synoptics. Another who is uniquely mentioned by St. John is Judas Iscariot. In episode 40, I read the passage from John 17:12, in which Jesus refers to the one the Lord gave him who was lost, the son of perdition, and that it happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled. This account is the second example of reference being made to a betrayal and a prophecy being fulfilled. The first example happens in this exchange in chapter 13. Jesus is speaking to the disciples in verse 18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Peter and John ask him in verse 25, Lord, who is it? And Jesus replies in 26, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. 13:26. In his narrative, St. John wrote that having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. That's John 13:26, 27, and 28. There are two Old Testament verses which in the early church were cited as being fulfilled in the life, betrayal, and replacement of Judas. The first is Psalm 41:9, here using the Book of Common Prayer text, yea, even mine own familiar friend, whom I trusted, who did also eat my bread, hath laid great weight for me. The other prophecy is Psalm 109, verses 2 to 13, which are traditionally cited as prophetic of the betrayal and replacement of Judas, the son of perdition. The most relevant verses in that group of verses are 7, 11a, and 12, and here again I use the Book of Common Prayer, Psalter text. Let his days be few, let another take his office. Let there be no man to pity him. Let his posterity be destroyed, and in the next generation let his name be clean put out. Another person uniquely referred to in St. John's Gospel is Mary Magdalene, a woman of Galilee from the town of Magdala, about 5 miles southeast of Capernaum on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. She is mentioned 13 times in the King James text of the New Testament. 3 times in Matthew, 3 in Mark, 2 in Luke, and 5 in St. John's Gospel. St. Mark tells us that Jesus drove 7 demons from her, an idea supported by Luke, but in no other gospel does she speak, but in the Gospel of St. John. In all the Gospels, she is the first to see the risen Jesus and to speak with him. But it is only in the Gospel of St. John, as I note, that she has a speaking part. This occurs in St. John's account of the resurrection in chapter 21, beginning with verse 11. The illustration is a detail of Mary Magdalene from the resurrection stained glass window by Mayer of Munich, at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, from the AIC bookstore publication, Paintings on Light, The Stained Glass Windows of St. Joseph's Villa Chapel. Now here are the verses. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Next time, in episode 43, having completed the discussion of unique references to people and places, I will begin part 4 of Unique Details with a discussion of what I'm calling other unique details or small details found only in the Gospel of St. John. Thank you for joining me for episode 42 of the New Testament, Gospels and Epistles. This internet ministry is supported entirely by public contributions and book sales. You can help by making a donation in any amount, payable to Anglican Internet Church, and sending it to our business office address, which you see on the screen, 7162 Softwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Or you can purchase any of our books through my author page at Amazon at https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Or you can like us and subscribe to our podcast at our Podbean site, which hosts our extensive collection of over 450 MP3 podcasts on a variety of topics and which can be heard on computers, laptops, smartphones, tablets, and other portable devices. While you are at our YouTube page, I invite you to join our Google Plus circle by clicking the subscribe button. As a Google Plus member, you'll receive notice of each new video as it's posted. Our unique new URL address is www.youtube.com/C/SaintJohnC, SaintJohnC. You can also follow us and like us on our Facebook page at the address on the screen or by using the link on the homepage of our website, www.AnglicanInternetChurch.net, and bookmarking the page for easy return. Or you can read and subscribe to my weekly blog posts at https://AnglicanInternetChurch.wordpress.com. Finally, you can request to receive the weekly update, a weekly email with the latest news and links to the most recent videos, podcasts, and blog posts and publications. Send your request by email to me at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. The names and email addresses of all recipients of the weekly update are blocked to protect your privacy. You can remove your name at any time simply by sending another email request. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call on my cell phone, 804-559-2690. The best times are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.AnglicanInternetChurch.net.